In Perek Yud Pasuk Bet, there is a very famous pasuk that many of us are familiar with. The Torah says, Ve'ata Yisrael, and now, B'nei Yisrael, Ma Hashem Elokecha Shoel Mi'imach, Ki'im Li'ira Et Hashem Elokecha, what does God ask from you, other than fearing HaKadosh Baruch Hu? La'lechet B'chol D'rachav, to walk in his ways, ule'ahava oto, v'la'avod et Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha u'v'chol nafshecha. All that Hashem expects from you is to fear Him, to walk in His ways, to love and embrace HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to worship Hashem with all of your heart and all of your soul. The Gemara in Brachot finds this particular passage very troubling. And the reason why is, what do you mean, what does Hashem expect from you, other than loving Him, servicing Him? Number one, obviously, that is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects from us. But the Gemara is troubled by the fact that the Torah, the Psukim, sound by the by. What else does Hashem expect from you? As if an expectation of loving, servicing, embracing, and fearing Hashem is something which is not so difficult to do, which is not so challenging to achieve. Says the Gemara, Atu yirat shamayim milta zutratahi. Are we to imply from this pasuk that indeed fearing Hashem is not so difficult, is not so challenging? Ve'ata Yisrael, ma Hashem elokecha shoel mi'imach. What else does God want from you other than fearing Him? Other than fearing HaKadosh Baruch Hu is indeed very challenging, very difficult to be able to accomplish. Something that most of us strive towards and hope to at least fulfill in some form or fashion by the time we leave this world, Rachmana Litzlan. Says the Gemara, an answer, proposal to this particular pasuk. In, says the Gemara, yes, legabe Moshe milta zutratahi. Indeed, with regards to Moshe Rabbeinu, yes, fearing Hashem came not easy, but came naturally to Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Gemara suggests that this passage is actually not referring to Bnei Israel, but it refers to the fear of God by Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe was a partner to Hashem. Moshe was Medaber al HaKadosh Baruch Hu Panim al Panim. He spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu closely, face to face, if you may. And therefore, for Moshe, it was a natural, instinctual reaction to be able to fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, that being said, in the Gemara, something which all of us are very familiar with, Rav Soloveitchik has difficulty with the text of the Gemara. And that is because if you looked at the text of the Torah itself, Perek Yud, Moshe Rabbeinu, in all of his discourse, is actually addressing Bnei Yisrael. These words of Ve'ata Yisrael, Ma Hashem Elokecha Shoel Mi'imach, and now, Bnei Yisrael, what else does God ask from you other than loving, clinging, and fearing Him? These words are remarked by Moshe, not by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if the Gemara implies that this was a natural, instinctual, or perhaps even simple reaction to fear God, well, presumably if Moshe is addressing Bnei Yisrael, then Moshe is saying to Bnei Yisrael, yes, even like me, it is not necessarily difficult or challenging to fear God. Are we to believe this? Indeed, there are many simpletons amongst Bnei Yisrael, even in the time of the Midbar, who probably or presumably found it very challenging to fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As a matter of fact, how many episodes do we encounter in the Torah during the long course of traveling through the desert in which Bnei Yisrael display an outright and forthright rebellion against HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So what exactly does the Gemara mean? And what would Moshe mean by implying that even for the simplest of people of Bnei Yisrael, it was unchallenging to fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The explanation, says Rav Soloveitchik, is the way in which the Gemara, or the text of the Talmud, is read. Says Rav Soloveitchik, the way the Gemara should be read is as follows. In legabe Moshe, and then milta zutratahi. Meaning, Moshe Rabbeinu is absolutely addressing the Jewish people. But what Moshe is saying, or what the Gemara is suggesting, is in legabe Moshe. Yes, with regards to Moshe, meaning, if Bnei Yisrael fear Moshe, if Bnei Yisrael understand, appreciate, and value the leadership of Moshe Rabbeinu, then milta zutchatahi. Then yes, fearing even HaKadosh Baruch Hu becomes natural. In other words, there is a reflection on Bnei Yisrael. If they learn to fear their leader, if they learn and appreciate fearing Moshe Rabbeinu, Rabban Shel Yisrael, then yes, it becomes less daunting for them to fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because the fear of Moshe is the conduit with which to fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu kiviyachol. And I often say this many times, Rabbi Shai, the way in which to arrive at an appreciation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is through an appreciation of man, particularly when that man is an outstanding example of leadership and of mentoring, such as Moshe Rabban Shel Yisrael. And therefore, what Rav Soloveitchik is suggesting is that the way that we arrive at a Yirat Hashem, at Avodat Hashem, is through Yirat Rabbeinu, the fear of our Rabbonim, Yirat and Avodat Rabbeinu, to be able to service and respect properly the leadership around us. Perhaps this explains why the Torah, immediately preceding these comments by Moshe Rabbeinu, in Perek Yud Pasuk Tet, the Torah clearly says, Al Kain Lo Haya LeLevi Chelek VeNachala Imechav. For this reason, even after Moshe split up the cities or the territory of Eretz Yisrael, Levi did not receive a specific portion with the rest of his brethren. Why? Says the Torah, Hashem hu nachalato kasher diber Hashem elokecha lo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Mikdash, Avodat HaKodesh, is the portion that Levi received. That in itself is considered a respectable portion to receive for himself. And for that reason, it precedes Moshe's directive, by which he tells Bnei Yisrael to fear Hashem, and by which Rav Soloveitchik understands that you fear Hashem through fearing Moshe or through the Rabbanim Shel Yisrael. Before that, it introduces Levi, the Shevet, who represent a complete and wholehearted commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So much so that for them they did not need to receive physical portion, but rather their portion, the greatest portion they could receive, is the ability to service HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then Moshe introduces Bnei Yisrael, the way to receive, or the way to arrive at Avodat and Yirat Hashem, is to Avodat Avodat and Yirat Halevim, through respecting and revering the leaders around us. This past week I visited a community in Chutz La'aretz, which I have frequented in the past. And having been there before, I have to tell you that I got to know and became fairly friendly, if you can use the word, with the Rav of the community, who has now been serving this same community with undying loyalty and tremendous allegiance for over 35 years. This Rav is filled and understands and appreciates what commitment is. But what's most outstanding about this particular personality, this rabbi, is his sensitivity. The very fact, or by the by, that he is an outstanding Talmid Chacham, an absolute Talmudic scholar, that is perhaps not necessarily appreciated or recognized by his community. But most importantly, what they do undoubtedly recognize, it appears, is his tolerance and his outstanding character. Nonetheless, I was terribly troubled to hear, as I was circulating the community, to hear rumors that the shul is very interested, or at least the board of the shul, is interested in ousting the rabbi. This is not the first time I've heard of such an outrage, by which a community decides from nowhere, even after having a rav who is so committed, so loyal, and demonstrates such servitude to the people around him, that nonetheless they decide that they are interested, and they decide it's time to retire the rabbi. Knowing that the Rav himself, and I knowing him personally, is a very gentle character, the time that I spent there, I realized and I learned for myself that this Rav would never clash with anyone in the community, that he would do anything in his power to avoid anything which would not only be, but that would be perceived as confrontational. But what is even more disturbing is that I recall on my last visit approximately a year ago, the president of the shul walking with me, who is the same president to this very day. And I remember him telling me that this rabbi, our Rav, who has served the community for so many years, is so welcome, is so accepted, and is so revered and loved because of his sensitivity and compassion. And he said to me an example. A few weeks ago he says to me, my wife was sick. She had the flu. The rabbi called my house. He thought I was home. He had to speak to me about something in shul business. And my wife explained to him that I was not home, but that my wife could not talk too long because she was not well. She had the flu. Only a half an hour later, there's a knock at my door, says the president to me, and the rabbi is there with a fully cooked meal for lunch. He brought it over for my wife because she didn't feel well, and he was concerned that she would not eat properly. This is a Rav who is kind-hearted, who is dedicated, and yet these board members decided that it is time for him to go. Why? Their explanation, at least according to my understanding, is they're looking for someone younger, someone more dynamic, someone energetic, with a tremendous amount of charisma. I understand their desire for someone who's a little more chic and a little more happening, but nonetheless, even if there is interest in removing a Rav, or moving on, so to speak, there's a way to do so. There's a decent way to approach a Rav, rather than him having to hear rumors. There's a decent arrangement that can be gotten. There's an understanding that could be enhanced, and that could be impacted between both sides. And there certainly has to be, amongst the congregation who enjoyed a Rav for 35 years, the concept of Hakarat HaTov, appreciation of the goodness that clearly was revealed by a Rav to his congregants. Having said that, lest we forget that our Jewish leaders are our way in which to express our fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And lest congregations forget how many Jewish leaders there are out there who are wrapped up in self-righteousness, who are absorbed by personal agendas, lest we forget that when Rabbi Chaim Mabrisk, the most outstanding Talmudic scholar of the last generation, was asked what exactly is the function of a Rav to his Kehillah, Rabbi Chaim Mabrisk did not say paskening halachos. He did not say giving over pilpulistic, Talmudic, analytical shiurim, and he certainly did not say giving over the sermon on a Shabbos morning. Rav Chaim Mabrisk said, the function and the role of a Rav is to perform acts of chesed, kindness, and charity for his community and the Jewish people abroad. This demonstration by the congregation towards the Rav is a demonstration of insolence. It is a reflection on themselves, not on the rabbi. But what they don't understand is it's not only a reflection on their behavior towards the rabbi, but it is a reflection on their behavior towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because the means of arriving to Hashem is through his partner, his Rav, the teacher, the leader. This is a breach which represents a breach in a recognition that the ultimate purpose is to fulfill a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. and that the main way to understand what it means, liyirat Hashem, liavot Hashem Elokecha, lalechet bedrachav, laavod et Hashem Elokecha bechol levavcha uvechol nafshecha, according to the directives of Moshe Rabbeinu, is by means of facilitating the relationship with our own personal Moshes that exist around us. Yehi ratzon we should be zoche, balabatim, boards, shul members, and of course the Rabbanim themselves. We should all be zoche to cherish, value, and appreciate what this relationship means of aselich harav, to value the leadership of Rabbanim as the conduits and the direct links to fear and to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shabbat Shalom.